It's time for Over There with Mirella Rostroffer. Mirella is our European correspondent. She joins us weekly. She is over there in Switzerland, I think.
Hi.
Yeah, is that true? Hi, Mirella. How are you?
Yes, in a very, very snowy Switzerland, as we are having, I understand, as much as you do, a lot of snow over here. And I'm going to talk about a Nordic countries. So we are staying in the theme. This is a news that is not of the past few days, but one that I have been just meaning to talk about and share with you, because I think it's very it's a very interesting story. That would be the story of Norwegian mass killer Anders Breivik. A couple of weeks ago, he appeared in court because in Norway there is the possibility to be released on parole after 10 years in prison. So Anders Breivik, who actually changed his name to Fjotolf Hansen, but that everybody keeps calling Breivik for the moment, was sentenced for a terrifying crime. 20. He was sentenced to 21 years. As a reminder, he's a very famous Norwegian mass murderer for killing 77 people in a double attack with a bomb and after the bomb with guns. His victims were at the Oslo government quarter. This is where he used the bomb. And then he went on the island of Utøya, where mostly teenagers were having a political venue, from a political side that he doesn't respect, from what would be in Norway the Labour Party, basically. Breivik has the right to reapply every year for parole. Now, it truly doesn't mean that he gets it, as one of the preconditions is to not be dangerous for society anymore. And he certainly doesn't seem to be fulfilling the requisite for that. He arrived to court, for example, with a message on a paper he was holding where you could read, "Stop your genocide against our white nation." So that was probably not exactly the right thing to do if he wanted to show any regret for what he did and for the 77 people that he killed 10 years ago. With one hand, he was holding that paper. With the other hand, he thought it would be a good idea to do the Nazi salute. So it's really noteworthy to notice with him an absolute and total lack of empathy, regret, remorse, or anything even close to those feelings. Obviously, because he wanted to win his case, he was emphasizing the fact that he was not really responsible for what he did, because the responsibility was from the people in the right extreme scene, who basically convinced him and made him do those acts. He truly tried to portray himself more like a victim of some kind of brainwashing than someone who truly did those acts consciously. That being said, one also learned through a few articles that he constantly during those 10 years in prison tried to represent himself as a far right European leader. And he was eventually trying to start even a fascist party in prison. The Norwegian prosecutor came back on his history during those hearings that took place over 3 days to emphasize the danger that Breivik would pose should he be ever released. For that, there is also the assessment from his psychiatrist, who came to the conclusion that there is zero remorse to be found, and that he cannot detect great changes in Breivik's functioning. So such an assessment has, of course, also a certain weight in court. Even though he has the right to ask for being released every 10 years, chances are that he will stay still in prison for a very long time because of the fact that he doesn't show remorse, because also of the weight of what he did. Those were 77 people. It does sound absolutely like an astronomical amount of people killed. And to have him join then some other forces would, of course, be also the responsibility of the court and one that probably is quite difficult, a decision that is quite difficult to make. In 2012, he was also complaining about his detention conditions. As a few examples of what he said was, in his opinion, unbearable, it was the poor decoration of his cell, the cell being too cold, not being allowed to use moisturizer, not enough butter, cold coffee, etc., etc. His cell being actually composed of three parts, one to sleep, one to study, and one to exercise. I think that episode also had a certain influence on the public opinion, in the sense that there is with him the feeling that he doesn't realize the devastating impact of his acts 10 years ago on the Norwegian society. What was a big complaint of some people related to the victims was the fact that Breivik said or wrote at one point that he was going to use the media in order to advance and spread his message. And the general feeling is a little bit that the fact that those 3 days hearings have been streamed live have been actually the exactly the platform that he wanted to have, and the media in a certain way, with the need of information that is understandable, nevertheless gave him that platform on a silver plate, and this is something that some survivors or relatives to survivors have been noting and talking about. I thought that this story was interesting in the sense that it shows the enormous differences among justice systems in the world, and that the Nordic countries are, of course, well known for giving much more of a chance to people who have made mistakes. Now, of course, the question would remain to know how big of a mistake is forgivable, and what is society is ready to give as a chance, but Norway certainly shows, with the rule that every 10 years a mass murderer has the right to ask for freedom, shows definitely a very a liberal and an interesting justice system.
Thank you very much, Mirella Rostorfer. Over there.
My pleasure.